This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to ExpressPros.com to find your location. That's ExpressPros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome back. It is Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Jack Fritz in for Spike Eskin today as he is moving. And we are lucky enough to be joined by Executive Vice President and General Manager Howie Roseman, someone who handles pressure very well. Howie, how's it going today?
How we doing, guys?
Doing great, Howie. How are you feeling, man? It's been a busy offseason for you, coming off the draft. Just a quick overview. I know you've talked about the draft and the draft picks this past weekend. But for us, just your thoughts on what you guys were able to address and whether or not you feel good about coming out of the draft, addressing some of the things you felt you wanted to get addressed in this draft.
Yeah, the draft, you're competing with 31 other teams, so it's never going to be perfect. You know, you're always going to lose players that you wanted to draft because you're subject to what everyone else does. And in terms of how you're feeling, you know, I'm feeling like we got to get these guys in here and develop them. You know, that's the most important thing, what they do now. However good we felt after the draft ended, none of it matters. All that matters is how they go play. And so that's where we're at right now. That doesn't mean we're not excited about the potential of these guys. But right now, you know, Ike, that's what it is. It's potential. And they got to turn that into production.
You often talk about how the offseason is always evolving, right? It's not just free agency. It's not just a draft. It's different waves of this thing. As you guys get prepared for your rookie mini camps and your OTAs, I know you guys still keep your eye open for what's happening around the league and what may become available. But when you look at the young guys you got on your roster, particularly on the defensive side of the football, you feel good about going into these early camps and getting a chance to see if these guys can be able to possibly grab a starting position when you look at some of those key spots on the defensive side?
Yeah, you know, I think really fortunate that we don't have a lot of open spots on our football team, and that's a great credit to the players that we have in here. Really got a young defensive football team, with a lot of players who played championship caliber football. So that's exciting. You know, you're not worried about going into a season and worried about pressure moments with these guys because a lot of these guys have won world championships. A lot of the guys that we've brought in here have kind of championship pedigree. And so that makes you excited that it won't be too big. And then, you know, I know from my perspective and hopefully our fans' perspective, knowing that, you know, we have two guys on our defense who are older than 25 years old. You know, that is unbelievable. That's really exciting. And you know, I'm biased, but I do think it's not just because they're young, but they're good players. So we look forward to that. I think we added a lot of competition. I think we're fast on defense. I think we got a heck of a defense coordinator. And, you know, all that being said, that's how it looks on paper. We got to put it together. We got to work really hard. We got to be prepared to defend our championship starting with that Thursday night game at Lincoln Financial Field.
Howie, I know the draft class is still new, but I guess if you had to describe this class in what word would you use to describe them?
Yeah, I think that's unfair. I probably could go through each player and give you a one-word description of each player, but, you know, I'd hate to generalize, you know, our whole class based on one word, because they're different players. They're different flavors, you know. Everyone we got, they're different positions, and they all have different strengths, you know, and that's how I kind of look at it. Like, you know, what are the things that these guys can do really well? And then there's a bunch of areas that we got to develop because, you know, we forget these guys are 21, 22, 23 years old, changing cities, coming into a different profession with grown men, performing for their family. So, we got to develop them as well. And I think that's the exciting part. I think we have the right people to do that. And I think these guys have the tools in their body and the right mentality to want to be developed, which is a big part of development.
You guys certainly replenish talent, Howie, in a lot of different areas. We talked about on the defensive side of the ball, even added depth late in the draft with the offensive line, which you guys typically do as far as getting guys developed. I was a little surprised the tight end position wasn't necessarily addressed in the draft kind of early based on some of the things that we've heard about what could potentially happen. So I won't beat around the bush with you. Dallas Goedert is a big question mark for a lot of the fans wanting to know what his future is going to be like being here. Are you guys any further along as far as deciding what that's going to look like as far as him being here or not moving forward?
Yeah, I think you get into trouble when you just go into a draft and say, I got to get a position. You know, I've done that before and it never works out really well. So you really want to be consistent with what you have on the draft board. And every time we were picking, a guy stood out, you know, that it was higher graded than where our selection was. At times that we had multiple guys like that, we just moved back, you know, and picked up more picks because, you know, the more picks you have, the more chance you hit on them. And you talked about the offensive line. You know, we typically would like to go into a draft and take offensive linemen higher. We didn't do that. But when we got to the third day, we saw guys that we thought had real potential, and that's what they are right now, potential. Because of the tools in their body and what we saw on film. And so we took not only one guy, not only two guys, but we also had another guy in free agency after the draft that we liked. So, you know, I think, and that just increases and hitting on your odds that you're not just putting one guy in a basket and hoping that guy hits. In terms of the tight end position and Dallas, I would say this, you know, it's, I'm looking at my phone, so it'll take me a second. It's Thursday, May 1st. It's freaking May 1st. It's May 1st. I promise you one thing. We are not going to stand pat between now and when we play on Thursday Night Football. And I think that includes all positions. So I'm going to give you an answer without giving you an answer, and you're going to have to read it from there.
Sounds great. Now, one guy that Eagles fans are excited about is Jahad Campbell. And I got two questions for you on Jahad. First, do you view him more as an edge that can play linebacker or a linebacker that can play edge?
You know, right before I got on this call, they said Jahad was outside my office. He wanted to come say hello. We are going to love this player and this person in Philadelphia. I couldn't be more excited that we were able to get him in this draft last week. And when you ask that question, I'd say yes.
Of course. And, you know, obviously the only reason it seems like he was there was because of shoulder and knee concerns. I know you won't get into detail about the injuries, but I guess what would you say to Eagles fans who are concerned about some multiple injuries happening here with Jahad Campbell?
Yeah, I mean, a huge part about playing in the NFL is being durable and being able to play a lot of games. That's a huge part of what we look at when we're drafting guys. There's no chance that if he wasn't coming off of off-season shoulder surgery that he would have been within a distance for us to go get because he's that talented of a guy. I think that over the last couple of years, our medical staff has proven their success with guys. That doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect, but we were very confident even when we thought he was just a top 10 player in the draft and we wouldn't come close to him about how he would be. I don't even want to say long-term because when long-term, I think long-term, I think of this player playing for us 3, 5, 7 years from now, which we're all confident here that he'll do. But even in the short term, you know, I think for our fans this is what I would say. I'd say, in a situation, and I'm not saying this is apples to apples, but last year we drafted Coop in the second round. Coop didn't play till the week of our last preseason game. I mean, it's hard to remember, but he didn't start until week 6, which was really our 5th game. How did that work out? You know, and so I think we can be a little patient here and make sure that this guy is right. And because that's what we're going to do, we're going to make sure he's right, that we are going to have a heck of a player for the Philadelphia Eagles for a long time.
Yeah, and you got it. Everybody's pretty much excited about him, local kid. So that certainly is someone that we're all looking forward to rooting for. Howie, you mentioned earlier about the youth on that side of the football, the defensive side of the football. And yesterday, you guys picked up the fifth-year option for Jordan Davis. Jordan certainly finished off the season much stronger than he started the season. First question on that with him, the decision to pick up that fifth-year option, why did you guys do it? And then secondly, his development, watching him develop through the first 3.5 years of his career going into his fourth season, how has that been going according to your evaluation, and where do you guys expect him to be moving forward?
Well, like, I think if I answer the second part, the first part's going to be easy.
Okay.
When you watch Jordan and how he looked the second half of the season, and that's a big part of it, how he looked.
Mm-hmm.
He was in great physical condition and shape. He was disruptive during the playoff run. We forget, again, like, players still develop. You know, when you look at the history of defensive tackles in the National Football League, you see a lot of really successful guys that people forget took to year 3 and 4 to really hit their stride. And we think he is just in his stride. This guy is going to play really good football for us here. He's an unbelievable person, worker, leader. And I think the sky's the limit for him. I think that, you know, he feels it, and he's got tremendous confidence. And I'm excited for our fans to understand why we thought it was a really easy decision for us to pick up the option.
So, Howie, on Monday, we're honoring Brandon Graham on 5-5, of course. It's BG Day here on the station.
That's awesome.
What's it going to be like without him like on the team, obviously, every day? I think he'll be around the NovaCare. He's not going anywhere. But
for sure.
What are we losing from that standpoint? And do you have a favorite Brandon Graham story for us?
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, we've had some great players here that I've been fortunate to be around, including one I'm interviewing with right now. but the relationship that BG and I have is special because, obviously, first pick for me as a GM. And, you know, really, a lot of times I feel like our careers kind of paralleled each other. You know, there was a time where it wasn't so much fun for either of us here in Philadelphia, and we kind of fought through it together, and, you know, obviously BG making that play in the Super Bowl was incredibly special for our fans, for our team, and for me personally, obviously. And so, you know, that we've had a lot of these guys. I can't tell you that I have a favorite because, you know, all of them mean an incredible amount to me. That would be like picking a favorite kid, which I do have some days of the week. And I think that, you know, it's just a special relationship that we've had, and just a lot of conversations, a lot of support for one another. Not only do I feel like I've had his back, but I feel like he's always had my back and been tremendously confident in what I'm going to do. I mean, you know, you talk about that group of Kelsey and Fletch and BG and Lane, and, you know, throughout all those changes, they always believe. They always believe we would get it right here, and I never took that lightly. You know, I always felt special that they believed in that and felt an obligation to do whatever I could to make sure that they were as successful as possible. So in terms of BG's story, you know, I got a lot of them. I'm not sure they're suitable for this call right at this moment. But let me think about that, and maybe on BG Day, I'll unveil one.
It is remarkable, Howie, just listening to you recant sort of that journey. You know, you coming in 2010, BG, your first round draft pick there, the way the careers parallel to each other. Early in BG's career, he dealt with injuries. He dealt with not necessarily being productive. Coach Reed was on the station yesterday, and he talked about, you know, some maturity things that BG sort of worked his way through early in his career. I'm interested from your part of, you know, in those earlier years, tough discussions being had by you and whether it was Coach Reed, Jeffrey, about moving forward with BG, I'm wondering what they're like those first 4 or 5 years when he isn't as productive as expected. Was it that time? Was there ever a time where it was like, man, do we move on from him or we're sticking with him? I'm wondering, did you guys ever have those type of moments where you had to have those type of discussions?
You know, as a young GM and as your first pick, and at the time you had a couple of players that everyone thought we should draft over him.
Earl Thomas, yeah, all that.
KPP.
Yeah.
And he got hurt in 2010, and he was kind of coming back in 2011. And in 2011, as he came back, you know, there was a game that we played in Miami. And I want to say at the time we were 4-8. And he was inactive. And, you know, him and I had a conversation in Miami, which was basically like, you know, if you're going down, I'm going down too, you know. And you and I are going to be in it together because if you're not going to be successful, I'm not going to be successful. There's no way I'm going to be able to make it in Philadelphia without you being successful. And we shared a moment, you know, and I guess that would be my story. And I'll never forget being in Miami. Me and him, eye to eye, and in typical BG fashion, you know, he looked at me with a big smile and said, I got you. You know, I'm not sure I believed it at the moment, but I mean, I was hopeful. But he did. And, you know, I feel like we've had each other's back. And, you know, how we do things in Philly, they're not for everyone. You know, I get it. You know, but We're close with our players, and that doesn't mean that we can't make hard decisions. That doesn't mean that we have to sometimes, but that guy's a friend for life, and yeah, I just couldn't be more proud of the person he is, the player he is, and two-time world champ. Beautiful thing to say.
Yep.
Man, it's just all time. It's just crazy. We're about to head into a year next year without, I mean, I know Kelsey retired last year, and Fletch retired last year, and Lane's still there, but an Eagle season without BG, Fletch and Kelsey for the first time in seemingly forever.
15 years, yeah.
Forever.
Those are my security blankets. Thank gosh I got Lane. And, you know, I think that what our fans, and we miss those guys. You never replace legends. You never replace them. And so we'll never be able to do that. But I'm proud of the guys that we have here. And I do think that we have such a core group of great players and great people. And, you know, that's really the job that I have. You know, make sure that our fans look on the field and say, man, that's a great player and that's a great person. That's a great player and that's a great person. And compete for championships. That'll be an important thing for us, too. You know what I'm saying, Ike?
Yeah, listen, I hear you, man. I hear you. It's funny because we, having you on, we have you on to talk so much about your team that you build and the things around it. We rarely talk about you, per se. And I know you don't necessarily like to be talked about in that light, but you deserve a lot of credit. You talked about some of the things that you had to go through rough times here as well and has bounced back with 3 Super Bowl appearances and 2 championships under your resume, putting together a pretty good resume. And I know you got a lot of work to still do, and I'm not retiring you or anything of that nature.
But, I don't know.
Please,
but,
no.
But I do wonder for you, how you do you still have that same sort of love and energy to want to do this for many, many years? You're still a young man. You're still a young man.
You haven't been around NovaCare very much, have you? You haven't. Yeah. I will tell you something. I couldn't be more motivated, more determined to have another parade through Broad Street where I don't get hit in the head. I feel like I only enjoyed half of that parade.
By the way, yeah, how's that going? Did you recover okay from that?
But I will tell you, I love this team, this city, my job so much. The day that I can't give you every single ounce of myself is the day I won't be here anymore. And you know, obviously, I don't get to decide that anyway, but I will never do that, and I couldn't be. I feel like all these experiences have made me better. I continue to learn, and I'm continuing to hope that you know, everything that we do leads to more world championships. You know, they become addicting; they really do. And the confetti falling, it really gets you in a mode where nothing else matters. And so, for me, I think I'm in this mode right now of just. Whatever it takes to get back and whatever we got to do to keep getting back there. And it makes me proud that our fans can say, You know, I felt after the first one there was a lot of, they got lucky, the run. Like, that's what I heard. You know, I don't know what we said. That's what I heard in my mind, and that's what I came in. You know, now we're at two, and what are you going to say? You know, are we lucky twice? I don't think so. But I'll tell you what, three's a charm.
That's right. Well, I tell you what, the fans, they are mirroring your sort of energy that you have right now, because they certainly are hungry for another one. We enjoy those parades. We had a great time this past year, and certainly look forward to doing it real soon. Before I get you out of here, man, what's next for you? What do you do now? Like you get to take a little bit of a break here? What do you get to do next?
This week, we get to look at these guys on the field, which is so much fun. We're in the middle of our off-season program. Love watching our players working. We'll get a little break here after June. We'll get another chance to celebrate. We'll get those rings. And I would say this to our fans, you know, and it's really a reminder to myself, too. We do got to enjoy being world champions. We do got to enjoy that and being able to stick out our chest and being the best in the world, because that's special too. And so I'm gonna really try, because I don't know that I've done a good job of that, because of just kind of the run that we've been on here with free agency and losing players, which hurt, and then the draft. But I'm gonna try to take the next couple of months here and enjoy every second of it. And be really proud of the accomplishments that we had, and at the same time, looking forward about making more accomplishments happen.
Yeah, because how are we supposed to explain to the younger generation that it used to not be this easy? You know, like I got a 2-year-old and a 4-month-old. Like, do I got to show them the Rondé Barber interception and understand that what we had to go through to get to this moment? I mean, these kids are spoiled these days. Howie, you spoiled an whole generation of Eagles fans.
Yeah, well, I see that. You know, I see it. You know, sometimes I see it that, you know, we lose a player and everyone's upset, but I promise you, we're going to do everything we can to get back. There's no resting on laurels. That doesn't mean we can't be proud. That doesn't mean we can't really stick out our chests and know that we're 2-time world champs. When I saw those two trophies with BG and him holding them, I mean, that gave me chills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got two quick hitters for you, Howie, before we let you go.
Okay.
How much does it pain you to keep drafting these Georgia and Bama kids and no Gators? I mean, we got to get a Gator for you.
You know, I did get a Gator and then draft a free agent.
Nice. Hey,
there you go.
You know, Montrell Johnson. I think at the end of the day, here's the most important thing. I think Nolan Smith said it right. I just want to win.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I don't care where they come from. They come from Toledo. They come from Georgia. They come from Florida. They come from Alabama.
Michigan State.
Whatever it is.
Michigan State.
Team,
yeah.
That's the most important thing. What did you say, Ike?
I said Michigan State.
I knew you were going to say that.
Come on, man.
Hey, Ben Van Summeren,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, BVS,
really
baby.
Good,
I know. What a guy. Give me a second one.
All right. So Elliot Shore Parks won Eagles Insider of the Year on this show. Do you think he was worthy of that this year? Think he was the number one Eagles Insider?
Well, I'll tell you what. I can honestly say this, and Bob will say, I don't have social media. With all due respect to the people I'm listening to, I don't listen to anything, so I have no idea what that means. I would say this. I would say the best insider that I know, you're talking to him right here.
You want to
hear what's going on with the Eagles? Let's talk to me. Let's talk. I'll tell you the truth.
All right. We'll have you on every week then. Sounds good. All right.
Oh, geez.
I'm just kidding.
Two goes. I appreciate you guys.
All right. Thanks, Howie.
Appreciate the time, Howie.
Happy BGA Day on May 5th. That's a special thing.
All right, brother. Thank you.
Of course.
Thank you, Howie.
There he goes, Howie Roseman. What a guy. Two-time Super Bowl champ, Howie Roseman.
Yeah.
Like, his journey is crazy, man. From the closet and in there to two-time. It's the best what-if, I think, in Philadelphia sports history, is if he just left. He could have left in 2015.
Sure.
And he stuck it out.
Yeah.
And they're not in this position if Howie Roseman leaves.
I tell you this. I think Mr. Lurie recognizing his positive traits, and I'm pretty sure he had a lot to do with convincing Howie to stay and not leaving.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm pretty sure of that. So, smart on all parts, man. Yeah. Two-time champs.
Two-time champs.
There you go.
Should have been three.
And he said it's okay to stop and smell the roses.
Yeah, tell it to the players, you know?
No, let them do what they're doing. Yeah, no, let them stay locked in. Yeah, stay locked in.
All right, 215-592-9494. If you'd like to react to Howie Roseman there, we'd love to talk to you. Also on the Phil, is he more buying or selling after the first month of the season? We'll get back to your phone calls on that. But also, tough loss for Ike's Lakers last night. Weird pregame comments from J.J. Redick and just some unreal postgame comments from LeBron that we got to listen to. So we'll get to all that coming up next, in addition to your phone calls here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome back. It is Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Jack Fritz alongside Ike Reese on this Thursday afternoon as once again the slacker, Spike Eskin, takes off the show to move. Buzz Wilson behind the glass. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Show the mom in your life how much she means to you this Mother's Day with a special gift with your purchase. Details at marks-jewelers.com. So, do you make your bed every day? Ike was asked on the old Twitter poll today. What do you think the responses were?
Well, I would imagine, yes.
58% said no.
Wow.
Which feels like a shot directly at you. I mean, obviously because of the number 58.
Yeah. Wow. 60% don't make up their beds every day.
Yep. 52% are still selling the Phillies. You got a damn near 50-50 split on that tweet. Yeah. And finally, who do you want the Eagles to play week one? Lions, Rams, or Commanders? So far, 47% of people want the Lions.
Everybody wants the Lions, yep. Huh?
Commanders coming in second and Rams last. What does that mean? You worried, a little worried about
that?
Yeah,
that's what it feels like.
It means they could prove themselves correct with a week one win. That's what that means.
Yeah, that's what that means. That means, yeah.
Is Cup still there?
No, Cup's with Seattle.
Oh, right.
No,
right.
They got, whatchamacallit? Devontae.
Oh, right, Devontae Adams.
Yeah, they got Devontae and Puka.
Puka?
Yeah,
Puka.
Kyron Williams.
Wow, it's not bad. Stafford's able to stay after his big skiing trip with Brady, so he's no longer a Raider. Jared Verse here on opening night, he would get smoked. I mean, just by the fans.
Get booed that night.
Oh, I'd get crushed.
See, we need that villain.
I know. He played up.
He played a role and played well.
And he dominated. I mean, he was a damn good player.
One time he tackled Jalen, man, I was mad.
Right.
Like, he literally slammed him to the ground, man. I was... Somebody need to get a penalty right there.
Well...
Meaning one of our players.
And I know that Saquon slowed down, but he was pretty close to getting to Saquon as a defensive end. I mean,
yeah. He was pretty good last year.
Listen,
no, he won Rookie of the Year, right?
Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Yes,
I know. Yeah. All right. I don't need the Ike hands of me being an idiot. I got you. All right.
You were an idiot. I didn't say anything.
The Fisk guy they drafted is
he's pretty good too. Yeah.
They can draft. Man, listen,
both of them. Yeah.
Versus a Bloomsburg kid, so.
He is?
He didn't go to Bloomsburg. He went to Bloomsburg High School.
Oh.
Yeah, we count that, though.
I'm like, man, how the hell did I miss that?
Something in the water up there. That's where we breed great athletes.
Went to Florida State, didn't he?
He did go to Florida State.
Well, both of them did.
He decided not to be a Husky, which is a little disappointing. It's good to see his career worked out, though.
Getting sacks in the P-sack, could you imagine?
I know. He would have been fine. All right, we'll get some unreal audio from Ike's boy LeBron in just a second. But it's time to check in on Black Gritty from BlackGritty.com, who seems to call when Spike's not here.
BG, haven't heard from you since the last time Spike was out.
Ike, I missed you, baby. But first of all, let me tell you something. I'm about to let you off the hook today, Ike. Okay.
What happened?
IkeSing.com expires tomorrow. I bought it for 2 years. If anybody wants to see Ike go out there and shake it for the Sixers, go to SingIkeSing.com. Today is your last day. I done spent $40 on it, but I ain't going to get it. I'm letting it go tomorrow. So if you want to see it one last time, see Ike shaking that thing.
Yeah, I don't need. I don't need to see that anymore. Yeah, I don't need to see that.
200,000 views and counting, brother. Yes.
Wow,
that's some numbers there.
Shout out to the 200 people going every month through my link. I appreciate it. So y'all go see Ike out there shaking that thing. Secondly, I make my bed whenever I wash the sheets. You know what I mean? So like, once every 2 weeks, once every 6 months, when I'm like, man, when's the last time I washed my sheets? Whenever I wash them, that's when the bed gets made, okay? I'm with you, Jack. For the first time in my life.
Now, that's
like,
unbelievable. That cannot be real. Are you serious?
Look, I'm going back to bed. I'm about to mess it up anyway. The only time I come close to making my bed is if a lady's coming through or if I knock.
Oh, so never then? Got him.
No, don't be trying to.
Got him.
Let me tell you something. Let me talk about baseball, something important. If I get back on Ike one more time, if I get on this video stage. The Phillies are winning the World Series, okay?
There
what?
I said at the beginning of the season, I can't get on the train now, baby. So sick or sick, I got to stay with him. I can't lead a team. And now we're rolling a little bit. I feel a little bit better. But we just got to get Bryce going, baby. Y'all were talking about Bryce early, and I was punching the airways. I'm like, yo, let's not talk about Bryce.
I'm nervous, man. I'm nervous about Bryce. I need him.
Hey, Jack, you know how it is. You got the family at home, the new baby coming. Sometimes it's extra stress on you. I mean, you put on extra weight. Bryce ain't hitting the ball like you're supposed to. You know
what I mean? Everyone knows I'm down 20.
Hey, you want to take shots? We taking shots. Like, I'm just saying, Bryce got the family inside. Maybe he got stuff on his mind, so he's got to get him right. You know what I mean? Schwarber's holding it down. And we're all right, though. We're all right. We win the World Series. I'm sticking with it. And we're going to get 92 wins, 93 wins. I'm going to lose my bet on that. But we're good right now. So everybody stay calm, stay cool, stay collected, because we're out here getting them George W's where it matters. Now, again, I think another point, y'all going to talk about boy LeBron, okay? First of all, I see your tweets out here. I don't appreciate you. You're disrespectful and you're ignorant, okay? You out here talking about a 4,000-year-old man, okay?
I know. I know. It's unbelievable.
Now he's old.
He's 40, still carrying
now
the NBA, and I can't wait to kick him to the curb.
Now he's old.
He sure can. And we got Giannis out here going up against somebody's dad, and you bringing up LeBron James. That's the sound of LeBron James, okay? LeBron James runs everything. What are we going to do without him? What are we going to do? You and the Ike's are going to suffer.
Listen. Listen. You talking about a nauseating year. When he does decide to hang him up, it's going to be a straight 82-game tour for an entire season.
You think he's going to request a retirement tour? You think he's going to have that? It's going to be honored in every city.
He deserves a retirement tour. He deserves one.
He's going to have the trumpets playing at every game. That's the way they got the trumpets out there, bump, boy. So you're right about that. And secondly, what's the question of the day?
What's an everyday thing you hate doing there, BG? Hey,
making up his bed.
Real quick. Thank you, Harry Roseman, for fixing everything. Harry Day, every day. Harry, for his reason. Free. He can have whatever he wants. Thank you, Harry. I appreciate you. One thing I hate, I'm going to give you two things. One thing I hate is when you tell somebody something on the radio the last time you called because you only call 2 times a month or a year, and somebody's supposed to give you a phone number for a dog trainer, and then they don't get the number to you. So I don't
I still ain't got you the dog trainer number, man.
He was just saying he was going to get it to you, too, before the
totally
show.
I forgot, man.
And I'm still over here struggling with this puppy. That's what I hate. So get yourself together. I get my number from Jack, and stop talking about the gracious king, LeBron James, the greatest that ever was. I talk to y'all.
Yeah. All right, there he goes. Black Ray. Speaking of BG.
Yes.
BG Live on Monday. Colonial Theater has released a limited numbers of tickets. So if you missed your chance first time around, you can still get tickets. Go to 94WIP.com. And also, Monday, we will be doing the show live from the Great American Pub on Bridge Street in Phoenixville. Enjoy Miller Lite specials as we celebrate Brandon Graham all day long in WIP. Harry Roseman had some really... The story about him in Miami was great. And those guys, they're, they, for player and GM, about as aligned... like kind of how they were obviously kicked to the curb, I think, for a little bit there. And they end, well, Howie's hopefully got another 15 years. But, you know, with BG ending, like they're now legends in this town.
Yeah.
And they were once cast off.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and that was Howie's first year taking over in that GM role, right? And drafting Brandon in 2010. Yeah. And, you know, listening to him sort of go back and think about that journey and some of the ups and downs they sort of went through. Yeah, it really is amazing that Brandon was able to be around and play. And here's the thing. It's one thing to have you around as some sort of ceremonial figure and
like you're just here.
Yeah. No. BG was out there. He was arguably our best edge rusher before he got injured.
Yep.
Right? Playing the run and the pass in his 15th year. He truly did get better as he got older. He got better.
Totally. And I remember you asked him about, was there ever a time where you thought he might leave? I mean, there was that Giants here where it looked like he might be heading up the turnpike.
Yeah.
I mean, and thankfully they were able, and even
the
after
Eagles, I don't know if the Eagles matched it or even surpassed whatever the Giants offered.
And I think there was maybe an idea of maybe it's heading into the Super Bowl year. Like, do they want to do this again? And they ended up, or maybe it's 2 years after the Super Bowl. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But there was another decision.
I think it was after the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Because one of those years, BG played on the final year of his deal.
Right. I remember that.
He played on the final year of his deal. And that was after the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Come on, you got to honor a legend. All right. So this Lakers stuff from last night. So they lose. Uh-huh. But before the game, I mean, what a meltdown from J.J. Redick. Listen to this from before the game yesterday.
As you watch the film, what do you recall about your thought process in the moment, sticking with the five you stuck with in the fourth quarter the other day? And is there an assistant or someone maybe that you'll lean on tonight, maybe to try to get, you know, some other guys involved if that opportunity presents?
Are you saying that because I'm inexperienced and that was an inexperienced decision that I made? You think I don't talk to my assistants about substitutions every single timeout?
No, I just think there's a lot of coaches lean on their assistants in those situations.
As do I, every single time. That's a weird assumption.
Then he stormed off.
Yeah.
It was just so aggressive.
Actually, I'm surprised we didn't see more of that this year from JJ. I think we only seen it maybe once or twice. I think he got a little testy earlier in the season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things weren't going well. I'm not surprised that JJ probably had to work hard to not allow that to come out throughout the season.
Screams a holier-than-thou guy with some of his – I mean, that –
Well, he certainly is a I-know-it-all guy, yes.
That right there?
Yeah.
That's JJ at Duke. You know, that's that's Duke JJ Redick. And I know he became really likable, I think, mostly in his NBA career by the end.
Oh, you mean as a player out there?
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't the same JJ at Duke in the NBA.
That was Duke JJ. JJ Redick at Duke. I know you had Leitner, and I.
I agree. Yeah, he's one of the most hated. Yeah, most hated.
He was the worst.
Yeah,
I mean, he was cocky. He's in your face. He was great.
JJ. Yeah, JJ. He's always been very confident.
Yeah, very confident.
Yeah.
So,
with your boy
LeBron, you want to get to that?
Nah, I'm just saying.
Oh, you think I'm ducking? You think I'm ducking?
Of course you are.
Oh, would never deflect. All right, so LeBron, they lose last night. Of course, he's 2-12 in his last 14 playoff games. But Michael Jordan was 1-9 before Scottie Pippen showed up. So, you know, make sure we tell all the truth here. But age 40, LeBron had some really interesting comments post game. Here's LeBron.
LeBron, basically from mid-January on, right when AD got injured, you guys started playing a lot of centerless basketball, and that required a lot from you and Doe and Rui and then Vando once he got back. Just from a physical, like, taxing standpoint, how tough was that for the last 3.5 months to play that style, and do you feel like that caught up at all in this series?
No comment. I never say that because my guy AD said what he needed, and then he was gone the following week. So I got no comment.
That funny.
I put that uniform on every night. I gave everything I had.
And, he does.
And that's all that matters.
he is tough, man.
Listen, And watching that video, that is a uncomfortable laugh. That's what that is. That's an uncomfortable laugh. Mm-hmm. I'm not even. I think the one thing that I would criticize LeBron for is staying too long. And here's why I say that. I don't know if he's staying for the right reasons. And it's a young person's league. And it almost seems as if you're insecure about this being the GOAT thing that you feel your longevity will cement that if you break enough records and your name is littered throughout the record books. Well, Wilt Chamberlain's name is littered throughout the record books. So was Kareem's. It didn't make them the greatest of all time. It didn't. So you're chasing a ghost that you're never going to catch. And I think what's going to happen with him, and I'm not even a LeBron fan, everybody knows that, but you stay too long, and then the people that were your fans, they're like, hey, still here? Like, it's another LeBron thing.
Yeah.
It's you know what I'm saying?
And the losses are going
to... Exactly right. The losses start to add up.
Because they're not that great. They're not that great. I know they got Luka, but whatever. And the thing about, my guy AD said we need help at the center.
Yeah.
You got Luka Doncic.
Yeah. Come on, bro.
What are we talking?
Come on, bro.
The pity party for you need a center?
Yeah.
Mark Williams was going to be the guy that was going to put your team?
Mike Williams.
Whatever.
Yeah. But still, though, but to your point, that's what I'm saying. And he's going to have to answer for not winning every year. So at some point, he's going to say, I don't need to answer for not winning. I'm LeBron James. Again, that rubs people the wrong way. So let us celebrate you on the way out. You're one of the greatest players ever. I got you in my top five.
That's very noble of you.
He's in my top five,
man.
He's
great.
In there. I didn't say where. He's in my top five. Likely in my top three.
Okay.
He's likely in the top three.
And we need the Warriors to lose so we don't put Steph above him.
That's what you don't want to happen.
Can't happen.
If Steph wins a title... How can you say that LeBron's the greatest player of his era? How could you say that?
Wouldn't even be the best player from Akron. How about that?
Is Steph Curry from Akron?
Yeah.
Really?
Born in the same hospital.
Yeah.
There's something in that hospital.
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
That's just another Ohio kid.
Well, he's a Carolina kid.
Well, I know, but he was born in Ohio.
Yeah, well, listen, I'm gonna start saying you're from North Carolina.
I'm a Carolina kid.
You keep it up.
I don't
over
get
there.
To claim Ohio.
You keep it up over there, man. Yeah, it was. It's tough.
Yeah, it's tough.
I am a LeBron appreciator. Most part, I troll you too with LeBron. He's a tough one to defend.
Man, it's a lot, and I know you're tired of defending him.
Yeah, can't wait.
LeBron fans have to be tired of this.
I think LeBron fans are about as. I think they're just exhausted.
They're exhausted.
It's the Jimmy Butler meme, in the bubble.
He's hunched over. Yeah.
Yes, they have to be.
I don't want this anymore. Yeah. Look, Jordan's the best player ever. You want to knock yourself out?
Right.
With it.
And you're like. But LeBron's still my GOAT.
Sure.
Yeah, he's my favorite player.
Even though I think I like Steph Curry more, but I don't think.
Oh, I think you're turning on LeBron.
Well, I don't think I don't think on the pantheon of basketball that Steph should be ahead of LeBron. But I like Steph more.
Right.
Like I like Steph the player more.
Yeah.
Now because I watch his whole career. I mean, him and Davidson was.
Were you not born when LeBron was playing? You watched his whole career too.
I know, but I was in fourth grade when he debuted.
Oh, so you have to watch it from opening tip to the end?
Makes it more special.
You weren't missing a lot in those really early years, frankly.
You weren't watching him versus the Kings to open up his career? Come on, man. I remember all the ESPN fanfare.
Yeah.
Steph was... I remember Durant was my first one. Durant with the Texas team. Love that Texas team.
Yeah, sure.
But then, I don't know. I just always... Curry and those Warriors teams in like 14, 15, 16.
Yeah.
That was phenomenal. And NBA has never recovered since the 16 comeback against the Warriors. That was the last like great time for the NBA.
Yeah, that was. That LeBron Warriors little rivalry thing that was pretty good for 4 or 5 years.
Made Christmas basketball interesting again.
Yeah.
That hasn't been the case.
Yeah.
So whatever. Joe's in Yadin. What's happening, Joe?
Whatever.
Good afternoon, guys.
What's up, Joe?
Well, okay. please take us in the right way. All right. LeBron James, Hall of Famer, great player. Not the greatest, but definitely in the top 10.
Wow, now, that's great. Yeah, it's awesome.
I'm showing my age now. I'm showing my age, mind you, okay? I've seen Chamberlain play. If he's playing today's game now, he would even be better than he was back then.
No.
But you need to see him, right?
No. Don't need to. Seen the tape.
You could hand check. You could back then, you could
He's not more talented than Embiid. He's not.
Oh, my God.
It's not even close. I mean, it's not even close. I don't know what to tell you. But
no offense,
Will versus Embiid.
You have a right to your opinion. I understand that.
Nah, Joe, don't. The dude is, Joe, how old are you, Joe?
I'm 68.
Yeah. You and I both have shirts older than Jack Fritz.
Don't get your blood pressure up.
We
just
have
don't
shirts
think
older than him. Yeah, the fact that he thinks that Embiid was more skilled than,
that's
than
not
Wilt
even
Chamberlain because
yeah.
he shoots jumpers. Oh. He's crazy. How about the fact that Wilt Chamberlain was in shape every year in every game?
Absolutely, yes. He was a trash star.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, I know, but some of those seem like tall tales. They do. I mean, every Wilt story seems like a tall tale. 20,000 women. You know, I mean, how much time I got?
I'll say one thing. If you talk to Sonny Hill.
Sonny Hill, I know.
Ask him about all about Wilt Chamberlain.
That's right.
He'll give you all facts.
That's right.
Yeah. He averaged 46 minutes a game his career. 46 minutes a game.
I know.
46 minutes a game.
Yep.
For his career.
And he's playing against me. Congratulations.
No. Bob Lanier.
Oh, my
Jabbar,
God.
Jabbar.
Yeah. Jabbar Russell.
Bill Russell, you're thinking it's just great.
Nate Thurman? Come on, man.
I mean,
you know, today's game, it's an open, wide, three-point shot kind of game. And I used to love the NBA, but now you don't play defense until you play in the playoffs. I just missed the great players back in the day, where now it's all about flash. It's all about, you know, running and gunning. And I just, maybe being until my age where it used to be, you know, standard, you know, set your play up and do your thing. It's a different game now.
Bring back the post. What do you got in the Eagles draft, Joe?
Eagles draft, well, be honest with you, the Eagles draft, I'd love the draft, but regarding that, the Sanders situation, okay? Please, I'm not a hater. Deion Sanders, Hall of Famer, okay? His son, we don't know yet. But if he kept his mouth shut and not be arrogant, both of them not being arrogant, he would have been drafted somewhere along the line, if not the first round, the second round. But since he opened his mouth, and I was taught, I got four girls. I always taught my girls, do not speak unless you think things over thoroughly first. Understand? That's what he didn't do.
Yeah. Yeah. And
all right, Joe,
appreciate the call, Joe. Actually, I've come around to blaming Deion more for this than Shador.
Could say it.
Yeah, I have. I love you, Prime. I love Prime. I do, man. He's one of my favorite players growing up and getting a chance to play against him. But you had to coach Shador through this process, and you coached him into being overly confident, borderline arrogant. See, people will go to the race part of it and the collusion part of it. I don't even got to deal with all that. Just think about this. You're an NFL owner, right? Because I can't just say GM or coach. This is an owner.
Yep.
The owner, when a quarterback is being drafted to be your franchise guy, the owner gets involved. Shador Sanders in college, did he wear a watch on the field?
Yeah, but
he wore diamond watches on the field.
Mm-hmm.
When he would score a touchdown, he would hold his hand up with jewelry on, celebrating. I don't know. Does every owner want that?
Well, I think the one thing with
Deion, think about this. Because when the head coach, who is his father, when you allow that stuff to happen, like you're basically enabling him to do this. You're not correcting him. You're not putting the structure and the boundaries around him to conduct himself like a professional quarterback to where he's appealing to these owners. See, Deion was reliving his life through Shador in the draft process. I think Shador got all the wrong advice. His approach to the interviewing process, Senior Bowl, all that stuff, individual workouts, the draft night, like all of that.
Well, like, and especially the advantage of having Deion as your dad is he played in the league for such a long time, and he knows it's a grown man league.
Yes.
And I don't think he was setting up for being a grown man league.
to go lead him. You're supposed to be setting Shadur up to lead a locker room full of grown men, guys that are 10 years older than he is.
Mm-hmm. Well, and look at Jalen's dad. I mean, Jalen's dad's a coach too. And it seems like he was preparing him from day one for the spot that Jalen is currently in.
Now, look at Jalen. Look at Jalen. Right? Mm-hmm. Jalen walks that fine line between giving you a little bit of flash, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gives you a little bit of style. Nothing wrong with it. But it's never overtly in your face and offensive.
Yep.
It looks classy. Looks good. You know what I'm saying? And like, it just doesn't look like you're more attracted to it versus you don't want to be around it. And that's what I kind of feel like with Shadur. A lot of that is how he made owners and coaches feel that I'm good, I don't need it.
That's why I wear t-shirts and shorts every day, not flashy. All right, that's coming up next. We'll get back into all of the Phillies talk.
Is that why?
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly it.
All with wrinkles.
Yeah, well, hold on. Wrinkles come out. We got a little High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report along with more of your phone calls. It's Ike, Spike, and Fritz here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.